Good morning. This is Lynn Grubb, and this is season two of my podcast. I just arrived back from Louisville after attending 2.5 days of untangling our roots. I say 2.5 days, but really it was 2 full days and an evening of open mic and different creative poems and other things that were recited on Thursday night where we opened the conference. I was there for the whole thing, and it was put on by two nonprofits. One is called NAP, National Association of Adoptees and Parents, and the other was Right to Know. The board members of each got together and created the first combination type conference to address not only people who suffered adoption loss, but also to include those with DNA surprises, such as non-paternal events or being donor conceived. Also, people who were surrogate children, maybe even snowflake children. So really anybody that was affected by not knowing their roots or their parents or some kind of DNA surprise. So it was the whole, pretty much everybody was welcome, including people who support those people. So there were a couple spouses there. There were people who didn't have a direct experience, but who were supporting other people. I personally attended with Andrea Steiner-Coates. She is an adoption competent therapist in Kentucky, and she's a social worker and an adoptee advocate. She has been doing DNA Search Angel work for 10 years, and she just recently got involved with other Triad members, getting to know us. So I'm really thrilled that she came. I loved hearing her perspectives on what she was seeing. My favorite part of the conference was just the entertainment. It was just so good. I can't say enough good things about it. I can't list off everybody who was performing, but I do want to read something that I pulled off Lost Daughter's website today. This is an interview with Corey Skolnick, who wrote the fiction book Orphan. And 10 years ago, Laura Dennis interviewed her. And she talks about how adoptees are resilient. And I'm going to read this quote from her. Adoptees, in my experience, are the ultimate adapters. And I don't know if I would say universally, but definitely I would say that in numbers that are statistically notable, adoptees are gifted and artistic and intelligent. I'm still waiting to meet an adoptee that has not excelled in some art form. This is why I made Jimmy Dean, that's her protagonist, a musical prodigy and such a creative survivor in every sense. He's the quintessential resilient adoptee. So again, that was Corey Skolnick, author of Orphan, O-R-F-A-N. I haven't read the book yet, but I think I'm going to put it on my list. So, of course, there were more than adoptees who were performing, but I use that term as an umbrella because this is all new for everyone in the community to be thinking outside of the echo chamber. So I'm really thrilled that we're expanding the reach and the support to people who have similar interests as we do, and that would be legislatively, but also in the healing world. So anyway, I highly recommend it. If you want to learn more about it, go to their website, untanglingourroots.org. I learned that they won some kind of award for their website, which is really gorgeous. So check them out. If you weren't able to attend, there is a way to purchase most of the talks, not all, but a majority of them, and you can watch them online if you like. Of course, it's not going to be the same experience as being there. So did everybody have a nice Easter yesterday for those who celebrate? We are not religious, And I knew that my husband's been sick for almost the entire month of March. He had COVID and then he got another infection afterward. So I knew we weren't going to do anything. So I had planned to meet my mom and a friend of hers at a restaurant that's on the campus of the independent living place where she lives. My mom is referred to as Wheezy. I write stories about her sometimes at my Facebook, and I'll link one in the show notes so you can check it out if you're interested. But she's 91. She is fully independent. She still drives, and she still wears high heels. And this has been an ongoing thing between us because she's fallen a couple times and not hurt herself, thankfully. But yesterday when we had lunch slash dinner after church, she attends church and I just met her at the restaurant. She had these like beige high heels on that she was wobbling in. And I looked and it looked like they were too big on her. She can walk fine in them. But I was like, Mom, what is going on with your shoes? And she's like, oh, I think my feet shrunk. So I'm like, I'm a little nervous about that. So I ended up, she did go up and get her own food, but I got her coffee and dessert because I really did not want her leaving that table. So after we had a nice lunch, we went back to her apartment and she changed her clothes and I took off my shoes. I hate having hot feet and I didn't pack my flip-flops. It was in the 60s yesterday. We're right at the beginning of the spring in Ohio where I live. And we went out and sat on the swing on, she has two patios there on one of the patios, and we just had really interesting talks. Then we moved to a different patio and I played her a couple songs that are on, I'm going to put a link in the show notes, but it's a new musical that Rich Erlob is working on and it's about adoption. So I played a couple of those songs for my mom and it was funny. There was this robin sitting in the sitting in a tree that was chirping so loud that it kept distracting her. It was like, I don't know if the music attracted the bird, but it was just, it was so funny. She's just like, I have never heard a bird chirp that loudly before. So yeah, go check it out. The musical, I know Rich is looking for some financial backing. So if you can donate, I highly encourage you to do that. I think this will be an amazing thing for our community. I would love to see it hit Broadway at some point. So little plug for Rich. He performed, or he played one of the songs at Untangling Our Roots, but they are all on his website, and I will link that into the show notes. So I still take the Dayton Daily News on Sunday once a week, and I get it also electronically, but I really just like reading the paper. But back in my full-time office work days, I never had the time to do it. So I've made a commitment to do that, and some of the things that I read in there are things that I want to discuss for today's podcast, and this part will be deemed Ohio politics. So there's some interesting things going on in Ohio right now because we're a red state at the moment. Mike DeWine has passed a six-week heartbeat bill for in reproductive rights, but it's on pause at the moment. And right now they're working on a ballot initiative to try to pass reproductive rights in Ohio. And I'm going to link that as well in case anybody wants to sign the petition. My daughter and I were grocery shopping and there were people in the parking lot trying to get more signatures. And of course we signed. I saw a few people rebuff the guy who, you know, pro-life people, and that's okay. We all have our positions in Ohio, but I am pro-choice, and I feel strongly that women deserve reproductive rights. I've written about this at my blog, No Apologies for Being Me. If you want to read, I've shared that I had an abortion in my early 20s, I've had two miscarriages, and I've given birth. So I've kind of ticked all the boxes. I've also, you know, adopted a child and I was a stepmother. So what I tell people is the same women who get abortions are the same women who are later really good mothers. There's, I think, this black and white thinking around abortion that you can't have one and also be a loving and good person and mother in your later life. It's very, I don't know, we need reproductive rights for all women. And I'm totally on board if a woman doesn't want to get an abortion. I get it. I totally understand why you wouldn't want to. And I also feel like it's not my place to tell other women what to do with their bodies. So that's something I'll be following in Ohio politics. Another thing that I was kind of surprised to read is that right now there's bipartisan support for ending the death penalty in Ohio. Now, I am not pro-death penalty, and the reason I am not pro-death penalty is because too many innocent people have been exonerated that were on death row, and I feel like one innocent person executed is one too many. So I'm really pleased to see that there's so much support for this bill, and apparently we can't get the drugs needed for lethal injection. The last two people who were executed really suffered, and it just didn't go the way they had planned. So I'm really happy to see that this is happening. I would, of course, be in favor of that occurring in Ohio. If you too are in favor of that and you live in Ohio, I would encourage you to reach out to your legislator with an email just saying that you are in favor of that as well. So my son, Matt, he's 29. He and I took a lobbying course this week, which was pretty cool. It was put on, it was for a group called SPAN, which is a single-payer, taxpayer-type health insurance that they're trying to get support for in Ohio. And I'm in favor of a single-payer health insurance, which is basically like a Medicare-type plan for all Ohioans. So that's how I was notified of this lobbying class that I took, and it was really good. I'm going to link the person who does this education in the show notes because she was amazing. She just started her own business, and she is teaching everyone how to lobby. And my son is very interested in the health insurance issues in Ohio, and my daughter is very interested in anything LGBTQ related and gun control. So I think our family as a whole are very much wanting to get more involved in the legislative process. And I'm encouraging that because I think all of us as citizens have a duty to get involved. And we also have to put a little bit of pressure on the people that represent us. We want to be sure they're representing us properly. And if they're not, we have to vote them out. So that's our duty and our responsibility as citizens. I just wanted to put that in there. I read those words in a newsletter from Adoption Network Cleveland and wanted to remind myself and all of you that this is our duty. And I hope that you'll get involved. Some of you listening may know that I volunteer as a court appointed special advocate, also known as a CASA. This is a national program where you go through a training and then you represent children in court, not in a legal sense, but in the best interest of the child sense. So you're voicing what they want to the judge and the other parties. You also do interviews and talk to everyone involved in that child's life to help come up with your recommendations. So that's just a simple description of what a CASA is. It's also known as a guardian ad litem in some states. In Ohio, it is known as a CASA guardian ad litem. The child may also have an attorney because we aren't attorneys necessarily, but we go through the same training as attorneys to become a CASA. I mention it because I want to discuss different situations with children and the child abuse and neglect that is rampant in the county that I live in Ohio. In future podcasts, I want to talk about these types of things. So I wanted you all to know my background. That's where I'm coming from. I'm also, I work in the legal profession and have for many years. And so I have a view of the child welfare system coming from that angle. And so I want to talk about some of these things in the future. So May 2nd is a lobby day in Ohio for volunteers that are working with Adoption Network Cleveland to change laws. It was the 2012 lobby day meeting with State Senator Bill Beagle that allowed a sponsorship of Ohio Senate Bill 23, which passed in 2013, creating access to birth records for 400,000 Ohio adoptees, which had previously closed records. Experience in custody, divorce, all the family law type stuff, I've worked in it as both a legal assistant and as a volunteer since the 90s. So I have a lot of opinions about things like foster care, adoption, kinship, all of those things. I have personal experience and also experience in the field. So I want to share some of those lessons that I've learned just from talking to different clients. That right now I work as a process server, and it's a family business that was started in 2006, and I became involved after I left full-time office work in 2019. Our business grew, and they needed, my son who runs it needed more help. So that's what I'm doing, and I talk to clients every single day, and so I'm always kind of in the know of what's happening out there in the family law world. Most of our cases are affiliated with family law, whether that be child support, visitation, contempt, divorce, custody, post-decree motions, those types of things. So I've really wanted to talk about a lot of these things for a long time, but due to confidentiality, I can't talk about specific cases, but I can give you some general lessons and information that I've gleaned from working in the legal field for a long time, and I look forward to doing that in the future. So if you've made it this far, I appreciate it. I wasn't sure how I was going to handle this first podcast. It might seem a little disjointed, but I wanted to cover some things that had been on my mind this week, and I'll probably going to be posting again next Monday. After I read the Sunday Dayton Daily News and do a little bit of research on what's happening in our communities, what's happening in adoption, I'd like to comment on adoption in the news in the future. And I hope you'll listen in the future, and I would love any feedback that you want to provide. You can email me at theadoptedgenealogist@gmail.com. Thanks again for listening. I hope you have a great week. That I have gleaned throughout the years working in the legal field. So if you've made it this far, I appreciate it. I don't know how to edit this thing. So if it jumps around a little, that is why. Still trying to learn the technology here. I chose Podbean because it's literally just record and talk in your phone. So a little plug for them. If you are interested in my actual personal adoption story, I did... it's season one of this podcast. You can go and listen to the chapters of a book that I have yet to publish on Kindle. Still working on that, and would really appreciate it if you would listen to my story, and I'm open to any feedback, and you can send that or other questions or ideas for future discussions to theadoptedgenealogist@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to chatting with you all next week.